The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome again. This is Paul Orlowski, and you are listening to AM 1260 The Rock. This is God Calling, and a very special guest today because his program, Living Stones, is new to AM 1260 The Rock, and the lead-in to the Sunday broadcast of my show, God Calling, 4 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. That is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, first of all, welcome to the program, and welcome to AM 1260 The Rock. I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of Living Stones.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you. I enjoy doing Living Stones very much, especially because it's co-hosted by my good friend Ken Hellenius, who is the communications director for the D. Nicholas Center for Ethics and Culture at Notre Dame. So we have a lot of fun with the show, and I hope that people really enjoy it.
Deacon Sivers, tell me about Living Stones. What do you do on the program? You've guessed?
Yeah, so when I was approached by Modern Day E-Radio to do a radio show, you know, I was excited to do it. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of things by myself. I have 9 television series in EWTN, and the first 4 of them I've done by myself. And so I said, you know, let me bring some people in here that I really have a lot of respect for and I enjoy working with. And so my last several series on EWTN have been with other people, and mm-hmm. I've enjoyed that dynamic very much. So I said, let me do the same thing for the radio show. And so I approached Ken. He willingly said yes, you know, and basically Living Stones is a weekly conversation about living a truly Catholic life. And so each week, Ken and I help our listeners try to deepen their relationship and intimacy to Jesus Christ and his church. And we discuss really kind of hands-on, practical ways to grow in faith by participating more deeply in the life of the liturgy and practice the virtues and things like that. And what we've been doing lately is going through papal encyclicals. For example, right now we're looking at Evangelium Vitae, John Paul II's 1995 encyclical letter on life. It's really been a wonderful journey, especially going back and looking at how relevant St. John Paul II's document is now, given what's going on in our culture today.
Sure, sure. You've been described as having a no-nonsense approach. You buy that description?
Yeah. See, playtime is over. we need clear, unambiguous teaching because we're living in very confusing times, and unfortunately, we're not getting that from all corners of the church. I think my approach is to be very clear as to what we believe, why we believe it, and how God is using the sacraments and grace in his church to be a vehicle of salvation for all of us, and how God's grace can help us to overcome the challenges that we're facing in the culture today. You know, I just want to give people straight so they can make a connection between the faith and the everyday lived experience so that disconnect doesn't happen, which happens especially to so many young people.
Yeah,
you know, they know things about Jesus, but they truly don't know Jesus deeply, personally, and intimately.
What are you seeing as you do a ton of traveling, giving workshops, retreats, and missions? What are you finding? The disconnect, I guess. How do you bridge that? How do you help?
So, for example, you know, you have young people that say Mass is boring. Now, why do they say that? Because after all, the Second Vatican Council says that the Eucharist, the Mass, is the source and the summit of our faith. It's the best thing that we do as Catholics, so why is this boring? Well, simply, they have no idea why they're there. I mean, let's be real. They're there because mommy and daddy make them go, or they're there because they have to sign some piece of paper, you know, that shows it. Look, I showed up to Mass so I can get confirmed, and basically confirmation is Catholic graduation for them. And they go off to college, and these professors with all these fancy letters after their name fill these kids' heads with garbage, and they come back to your house saying, you know, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in God, you know, that's for weak-minded people that need a crutch to get through life. And you're left scratching your head going, wait a minute, they went to Catholic school, they went to Mass every Sunday, they got confirmed, what happened? You know, our young people are becoming fans of Jesus and not followers. Especially these institutions of higher education have become indoctrination centers for the culture. Mm-hmm. You know, so these kids are not learning how to think, they're learning what to think. And so we have to combat that with the richness and beauty and truth of our Catholic faith, where it's not just an academic exercise. I'm learning all this stuff about the Catholic faith. That's great. But that's just head knowledge. It has to make the transition from the head to the heart. So it just doesn't become what I do or what I believe. It's who I am. That's the key.
You just coined a phrase that it's not going to leave me anytime soon, and that is that confirmation is like Catholic graduation. That really spoke to me. I see that a lot.
Yeah, they tick it off a list. You know, I got my driver's license. I went to the prom. I got confirmed. And it's just like something they have to go through. It's not like, okay, now I have God's grace to be able to live as a faith-filled Christian who's in love with Jesus, who's in love with Catholic faith. It's like the hub of a wheel. You know, that hub is the center, the core, and the spokes that come from that hub radiate from that center. And if Christ is the center of your life, then every decision that you make in your life radiates from that beautiful center, from that beautiful heart and core. You know, where you're deeply connected, your life is intertwined and connected with the living God. I mean, that's what St. John says in 1 John 4:16, God is love. And he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. So it's that beautiful symbiotic relationship, that total gift of self, that covenant relationship. And that's what God is seeking, because God wants our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants us to completely commit ourselves to him, because when we do that, we can truly become the person who he created and calls each one of us to be.
Deacon, stay with us. We're going to come back with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers very quickly here on AM 1260 The Rock after a break. I'd like to talk about your call to the diaconate when we come back. Our guest on God Calling today is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, known around the world as the Dynamic Deacon. You joked about that title.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is funny, because honestly, I'm an introvert, but when people see me speaking, they think, oh, you know, he's so dynamic, and, you know, and but, you know, it's really just the Holy Spirit, you know, because I really love being Catholic, and I want to try to radiate the joy and the passion about the faith, and so it just kind of comes out when I'm speaking. But if you're with me one-on-one, you're like, boy, he doesn't seem like the same person. And part of it is because of my background. You know, I was discerning a call to monastic life. And so I do have a really deep appreciation and love for silence and for adoration. And that's really kind of who I am at my core.
Deacon Sivers is the host of Living Stones that you hear on AM 1260 The Rock, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. One of the things I read about you was a best-selling book, Behold the Man, a Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality. That's published by the Ignatius Press. Do you feel that is a very important message to the African-American community? You're African-American and a father. The presence of a man in the home, well, near St. Joseph, to emulate St. Joseph.
Yeah, that's a great point, you know, because especially now, you know, where the culture's trying to redefine marriage and redefine gender. So marriage is not a man and a woman. It's whatever you decided to be. Maybe God was a liar when he said male and female, he created them. You know, maybe God was wrong. So instead of being made in the image and likeness of God, we're trying to make God in our own image and likeness. You know, that's exactly what's happening. And so, you know, because you have couples say, well, It doesn't matter if there's two men or two women. All you need is love. It reduces God's love to a Beatles song, you know? And that's exactly what our culture is doing. So what I try to do in that book is to show, first of all, what it means to be an authentically Catholic man. And I wrote the book because I could not find a book in the church. I mean, I couldn't find a document from a pope, from the magisterium, from any author that looked at what does it mean to be an authentically Catholic man. Now, there were books on fatherhood, books on St. Joseph, books on virtue, books on overcoming pornography. There were aspects of male spirituality, but I couldn't find one that was, you know, that said, here's what it means to be an authentic Catholic man. Plenty of Protestant stuff, but it wasn't rooted in the sacraments. It wasn't rooted in the theology of the cross. And so that's why I wrote the book. And you're right. I think when you look at the history of Black Catholics in this country, especially during, for example, the postbellum era, right after the Civil War, when the slaves were freed, they immediately went looking for family members. Where's my wife? You know, where's my husband? Where are my children? We were separated. You know, and they went looking for their family members. Mm-hmm. And that kind of togetherness continued all the way up even to the 70s. I remember as a kid watching a show called Good Times that looked at the Evans family that lived in the, I think it was the Cabrini Green Projects in Chicago. And no matter what happened, that family stayed together. And now we have a situation where 70% of African-American children are born out of wedlock. You know, and when I was at college in the mid-80s, at that time, there were more Black men in jail than in college.
Wow.
You know, so I think that this whole solution is the rebuilding of the nuclear family. And fathers have to play an essential role in that. Because without the father, what's happening? The mothers are going on welfare. They're looking for assistance. And the government are helping to raise children, not fathers. So it's very important that man, his job, all the way back to Genesis 2, serve, protect, and defend. Joseph was a beautiful example. Even though he doesn't have any spoken lines in Scripture, he was a perfect example. Why? Because he did God's will perfectly in his life as a man.
The fellow that wrote the book, Consecration to St. Joseph, I heard him interviewed on a program, and he said that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, foster father, Joseph. But he, and when they prayed at night, Joseph would lead the prayers. Joseph was indeed a father figure to Jesus. But he had a joke that he said, and he said, now, Jesus could have done a better job saying night prayers because he's God, but Joseph had that role. So, but there's a lot to take away from the role of St. Joseph when it comes to fatherhood.
Yeah, absolutely, because he was the priest in that home. And that's one of the roles that fathers play, the priest in the home. And what's the main job of a priest? To offer sacrifice. So the husband's job in that family is to die. Because when you stood at the altar, you didn't just say, I do. You said, I die. I die to everything that separates me from having a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I die to everything that puts myself first above all else. Because when you make that commitment to marriage, you are committing to giving yourself totally and completely to your wife and to your children. You know, so your relationship with God, of course, is always first and foremost. But then after that, you live not for yourself, but to make sure that you are leading your family to heaven. And that is a life of sacrifice. That is a life of service. That is a life of gift. And you die to yourself to make that happen. And it's no different than a priest in a parish. Same thing. Except his bride is the church, because he lives in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. And so it's no different than a father and his family, except his family's a little bigger, because he has a whole parish that he's responsible for as the father of that family. And so the same dynamic, whether you have a nuclear family, the domestic church, whether it's a parish, or even if you're single and you're a witness of spiritual fatherhood to the culture, each and every man has a role to play. And I think in the image of Joseph, and one of the beautiful things about Joseph was his silence. You know, he doesn't have any spoken words in Scripture because his actions spoke louder than his words. So it's not just lip service we pay as men and, you know, I'm a good man. That doesn't mean anything. Does your actions parallel the words that are coming out of your mouth? Does your lived experience parallel that of Christ? And as Paul says, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. Right? Mm-hmm. He goes, I want to know nothing, Paul says, except the cross of Jesus Christ. And that should be the mantra of every man.
Deacon, will you stay with us for another segment? I hope you will. We'll be right back with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, host of Living Stones Radio here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. Our guest on God Calling today is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He is well-traveled, widely sought-out speaker because of his dynamic approach to things. Deacon, you're married to Colleen, and you have four children, a father. Tell me about the call to the diaconate. How did you discern that? I know you earlier said you thought about monastic life, the Benedictine, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So ever since I was a little kid, you know, I really enjoyed going to Mass. And I remember even in church, my father was not a person of faith, so he never came to church with us, but I would sit on the end pew, right on the end by the aisle. My mother would stand next to me, and then my other siblings were on the other side of her. And she split us up like that because I wanted to stay focused on what was happening at the altar while my brothers and sister, you know, threw Cheerios at each other, whatever. So, I mean, I've always been attracted. And I remember as a kid thinking, there's something really cool going on up there. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I want to be part of it. And so my mom nurtured, I became an altar server. And then I thought, you know, I might have a vocation. I thought that God might be calling me to the priesthood. And I ended up going to St. Benedict's Preparatory School in Newark. And they had a come and see program. It was the monk, Benedictine monks ran a school, and they had a come and see program. I did that program all 4 years of high school. And then I went to college and would come back and live in the monastery for part of the summer. And then after I graduated, I worked for a year, then joined the monastery. And I thought, I'm going to be here for the rest of my life because I'm now doing what God has created me to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. But I was there for a couple of years, and my mom got sick and almost died, so I left temporarily to take care of her. And then when I was out of the monastery, I went to a wedding, and I met the woman who ended up being my wife, Colleen. So I didn't go back. But still felt a pull, a tug, an attraction, and then my wife's from Oregon, so I grew up in New Jersey. I left Jersey, went to Oregon. That's where the call to the diaconate came. And 5-year program, you know, it's from 97, and I was ordained in 2002. You know, and then left my job in 2000. I was at a law enforcement career for 23 years, left that in 2012, and started speaking and writing full-time. Here I am today.
Was there a gotcha moment, or was it just the rekindling of that earlier monastic experience that drew you to the diaconate?
Well, you know, I left. Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting because I left not because I felt I wasn't called. I left because my mother was sick.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful part is while I was there, my love for the Mass and my love for silence and my love for devotions were all fostered there in monastic life. And I draw from that heart and that center in everything that I'm doing today. So, you know, sometimes I think, why did God put me there, give me that desire since I was a kid? And all of a sudden, now I'm married, you know. But God knew that you need this foundation because you don't know this right now, but 30 years from now, you're going to be doing this. But you need this foundation and this kind of core in your life right now. And God knows what he's doing, that's for sure. And it's been, you know, I never would have predicted I'd be traveling and speaking and writing books and stuff like that. But that's what God has in store. And I'm just trying to be as faithful to his will as possible.
Tell me about the St. Joseph Center. You're the president and CEO. Tell me about the work of the St. Joseph Center.
Yeah, so the St. Joseph Center was actually founded by a good friend of mine who passed away. His name was Mark Andreas. Now, he was a man's man. That man was, I mean, he was the most Catholic man I've ever met in my life. He was deeply passionate about family life. And so to help promote family life in the Pacific Northwest, he started the St. Joseph Center and asked me to be on the board. And so after Mark died, he died of cancer. He was only in his early 50s and
wow.
You know, left behind a wife and still some fairly young children. And so his wife asked me to take over the center. And so what we do, I'm helping to keep the legacy of Mark alive because part of what I do is a men's institute. And so I have a men's program which is running in about 7 different countries right now, including South Africa, Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, Guyana, Trinidad, Canada. And so that's part of what I do is the International Men's Institute. But the other thing we're doing is helping to promote family life in continuation of the great work that Mark started. And so that's what the St. Joseph Center does.
Okay.
And we haven't been doing much since COVID.
Well, yeah.
Really curtailed my travel schedule and everything, but the work still moves forward.
Now, you're featured on The Greatest Commandments, 40 Weeks Spiritual Journey for Married Couples. I laugh because sometimes I wonder if some of these married couples these days are married 40 weeks, let alone having a 40-week spiritual journey. But, you know, I heard something on the radio just driving here to the radio station this morning, and that is that the average marriage now is 11 years, and the average woman, her relationship with her hairdresser is 12 years. Well, it's kind of a silly statistic.
Wow.
But, you know, the 40-week journey, tell me about that.
People seem intimidated when they first say, oh, my goodness, 40 weeks.
Right.
Well, first of all, why 40 weeks? The number 40 is a biblical number because, you know, 40 days and 40 nights in the ark and all of that. Jesus, before beginning his public ministry, 40 days in the desert. And the 40 is the number of gestational weeks in a pregnancy. So for the Israelites, 40 was a time of trial and testing and waiting, because after 40 days, weeks, years, God is going to do something. So that's why he chose the 40 weeks. Now, it's not like, oh, my God, I got to sit through this for 40 weeks. No, no, no. It's the little thing. So what you do is you watch a video at the beginning of the month, a 20-minute video. And if you can't watch all 20 minutes together, we've broken up the videos into 4 5-minute segments. So every week you can watch 5 minutes on some different aspect of marriage, and it goes for 10 months. And every week, in support of the video, we send a weekly email with an MP3 embedded in it, one specifically for the husbands and one specifically for the wives. And I voice the ones for the husbands. My wife, Colleen, voices the ones for the wives. And it gives us a little bit of a spiritual challenge. It's the little things that we do that we don't take each other for granted that make the biggest difference in marriage. And so what we do over 40 weeks is we slowly build simple things that you can do, including we teach how to pray together, and all of that. So by at the end of 40 weeks, God is going to do something amazing for your marriage.
Deacon, I wish we had more time. You certainly earned that title, the Dynamic Deacon. You've had so many great conversation points. If people want to get learn more about you, what's the best place to go on the web?
Well, I made it real easy, deaconharold.com.
Very good. Deacon Harold Sivers, thanks for joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll join us again same time next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.